All right, so the last couple of days, in fact, all throughout this week, we've been looking at Psalm 71. And I love it when the word just kind of jumps at you like this has. And yeah, you've probably had the same experience, but sometimes you'll read something, you've read it many times before, but as you start reading it, and as I've had the opportunity to share with you, really intended just to share, really intended to share like 2 points to you on Monday, and I still haven't even gotten to those 2 points yet. Just because the word, just as I'm reading it, it just comes to life, and the Holy Spirit is just sharing things. And I want you to be encouraged by Psalm 71 as well. Psalm 71 is the psalm where it's a psalm of deliverance, and we see the psalm writer is at that place where his enemies have come against him, and not only have they conspired for his destruction and his demise, but they've already implemented that plan. It's already underway, and the psalm writer realizes this, and we can read in verses 11, 12, and 13 that all of this is just about to take place. It's actually begun to take place. Then in verse number 13, the psalm writer says, "Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed." So he's speaking. He's speaking that this is what he believes. He has trust and confidence in his Lord to bring to shame those who would come against him. After he states that, then he says these words, and this is the key turning point of the entire psalm, and can be the key turning point of your situation as well. If you're faced with something, and this we talked about yesterday, if you're faced with something where the enemy is trying to bring about your destruction, whether it's your health, your home, your finances, your job, your life in general, if he's conspiring to bring destruction to any or all elements of your life, then this is the pivotal point in the psalm writer's Psalm 71, and it's the pivotal point for us. He says in verse number 14, "But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more." So the psalm writer is already praising God, and he says, "I'm going to praise you." Here's what I'm believing. You're going to turn around those who mean my harm to me. You're going to turn around that situation and bring them to a place of dishonor and shame for what they've attempted to do to me. I believe it, and so I'm going to praise you for it. And even though I haven't seen it yet, I'm going to praise you yet all the more. And he does that. And if you read through all the rest of the verses through Psalm 71, you see that he is praising, and he is praising more and more. You can see the praise strengthening. You can see the praise climbing. You can see the praise growing in the words that he says until it gets to Psalm 23. "My lips will shout for joy when I sing to you praises, and my soul which you have redeemed." This is like ultimate praise that he has given to Jesus Christ. Now, he's not seen any difference. Nothing has changed in his life other than he's changed. And he now, through that praise, has the confidence of knowing that God will faithfully redeem him. And it brings to the next verse, which is, "My tongue also will utter your righteousness all day long, for they," those who are conspiring against him, those who are trying to bring him to destruction, "they are ashamed, for they are humiliated who seek my hurt." Now, we talked about this yesterday. This is the same thing that's true today. If the enemy is conspiring to bring harm and hurt to you, this is truth for you. You can use this example from the psalm writer of Psalm 71. You can do the same thing and get the same results. If the enemy is conspiring to bring destruction on you, here's the good news. He is already defeated in Jesus Christ. And that's why I say we've got a better covenant with better promises than the psalm writer of Psalm 71 has. And Satan has already been defeated by Jesus. All we have to do is enforce what Jesus has done. We do this by our faith. And how do we stir the faith? We stir our faith by offering up those praises to Jesus Christ. So in verse number 14, as the psalm writer begins to praise and says, "I'm already praising you, and I'm going to praise you again, and then I'm going to praise you all the more." He's saying, "I'm going to continue to ratchet up my praise. My praise is going to get stronger and stronger." And you see the results of that praise that he issues as he goes through the rest of the psalm till he gets to the point that he knows he has the victory, and those who came against him are already, even though they have those enemies who are conspiring against him, they don't even realize it yet. They think they're about to get the victory. They don't even realize their defeat has already been ensured. They don't even realize they've already lost. They don't even realize they're about to be stung by defeat and dwell in the dishonor and the shame for coming against the child of God. If Satan's coming against you, trying to bring about destruction in your life, either in your health, your home, your marriage, your job, your emotions, your life in general, this is the same thing that's true for you. He's already defeated. The thing is, he realizes he's defeated. He just hopes that you don't realize that he's defeated. He hopes that you don't realize that and that you don't praise the name of Jesus because you don't realize you have the victory. Then he can continue to press his way into and against your life. But as we praise the name of Jesus, as we praise the name of Jesus, we are enforcing the victory that Jesus has won. So now we looked yesterday also in verse number 14 as he starts all that. He says, but as for me, I will hope continually. So he's made the determination here in this verse. He says, I will hope continually and I will praise yet more and more. We talked a couple days ago about he made the determination to praise, but he also makes the determination to hope and to hope in the Lord. Again, our covenant is better. Our promises are better. Whatever you might be faced with today, and if you're the person that I was speaking to at the very start of the program when I said, don't carry these things by yourself, let us pray with you. Jesus, whatever you're carrying that you feel like you are just that final little grip of control is sliding out of your hands and you feel like disaster is imminent, it is not. It's a lie of the enemy. If you are a child of God, then he has deliverance for you. That which seems impossible is not impossible. For this psalm writer, it seemed impossible because all of his enemies who conspired against him had already sprung their trap, if you will. They'd already begun the process of bringing his downfall. Yet they didn't realize that they were defeated themselves. They didn't realize it. The enemy realizes he's defeated. He just doesn't want you to realize it. You realize that you have the victory in Jesus Christ. And then focus on verse number 14 here in Psalm 71. Make these words from the psalmist your words as well. But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. Yet as for me, I will hope continually and yet praise you more and more. That is awesome. Make the determination to put your hope in Jesus Christ and to praise him all the more. To praise him all the more. Let's look ahead. I want to show you something from, because as he's talking about hope, he says, the psalm writer says, but as for me, so this is my choice, but as for me, I make this determination. I will hope continually. What is hope? Hope is the beginning part of faith. Now, before we look at that, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, it says this, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction for things not seen. So what is faith? Faith is the title deed. Faith is the assurance. Faith is the manifestation. Faith is the substance, as it says in some versions. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So we start by hope, and once we have that hope, it moves us and it stirs the faith. Hope is that starting place. And this is exactly what we see with the psalmist. He starts with hope. And as he praises his Lord, as he praises the name of God, he starts with hope, believing beyond what the natural world tells him. He starts by hoping, believing in the things of the natural world, and that's that hope that stirs that faith, and it's the faith is the substance of the things hoped for. So we start with hope. Now, let me show you this also. In Romans chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, this is Abraham, talking about Abraham. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, is speaking about Abraham. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him who believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. God calls into existence those things that do not exist. You might look and say that your victory, your hope is slipping. Your last vestiges of hope are slipping out of your hands. It may feel that way, but God calls into existence those things that do not yet exist. In other words, they exist in the spiritual realm because Jesus Christ has already provided all those things, but they do not yet exist here in the natural realm. We need to bring those promises, those deliverances, and those victories from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. And that's what we see the psalmist in Psalm 71 doing by, first of all, putting his hope in his Lord, in God, and speaking words of praise. Now let's read verse number 18 because this is where it all kind of makes sense. Still talking about Abraham. Paul says, in hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. What does it mean that Abraham had hope against hope? What does that mean? How can you have hope against hope? That seems contradictory. Well, it's contradictory in this way. We're either putting our hope in this natural world and the things that we see, or we're putting our hope in the unseen things and the unseen promises, which are just as real in the spiritual realm. They're just as real as the things that you do see. You can't see them, but they're just as real. But that's why the verse before in Romans chapter 4 says that God calls into existence those things that do not yet exist. They don't exist here, but they do exist in the spiritual realm. And he brings those things. He calls those things into existence. So in other words, they're already there for you. What we see the psalm writer of Psalm 71 doing is he says, "And I will hope in you continually." So where is he putting his hope? The same way that Abraham is. Abraham is hoping against hope. That means there's the hope in the things of the world, and there's the hope in the things of the spiritual. To have hope against hope, what Abraham was doing, it says it's putting aside the hope in the physical, in the natural things. It's putting aside your hope in the things that you can see. It's putting aside any hope you have in this natural world, taking your eyes off the natural. Abraham set aside hope in the natural, and he set aside hope in what he could see, feel, touch, taste, hear. He set aside hope in that, and he put his hope in the spiritual. So he hoped in the spiritual against his hope in the natural. He laid that aside and put his hope fully in the spiritual. He put his hope fully in those promises of the Lord. And again, your promises, because your covenant is better, your promises are better. So it all starts with hope. First of all, we have to take our hope off of the things of the world and put our hope against the things of the world and into the things that we cannot see, the things that do not exist in the natural but already exist in the spiritual. We need to put our hope in the promises that are in the spiritual realm. We put our hope there. And then again, we come back to what we just saw in, and I lost my place. There it is, in the book of Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance, or faith is the title deed, or faith is the substance of things hoped for. Here's what the psalmist did. He hoped, not in the natural, in the things that he could see, but he hoped in the spiritual. Hope was making the determination. He made the determination. Hope is that first step of faith, and faith is the assurance. It is the substance of the things we hope for. So put your hope not in the natural physical things that you see and experience right now, but put your hope in the spiritual promises of Jesus Christ that are yours in Him. The things that are already established and exist in the spiritual realm, but are waiting for us to bring them into the natural realm. Put your hope in those things. Hope is the first step. If you'll take that first step and remove your hope in the natural, put your hope in the spiritual, that's the first step. And then faith becomes. You put your hope in that, and your faith is going to find. Faith then brings substance to those things, which are already, what we just saw from Romans, which God's already created and exist in the spiritual realm. It brings substance. In other words, it brings it from that spiritual realm that you cannot see. It makes it substantive here in this natural world where you can see it and experience it. And that is exactly, what the psalm writer of Psalm 71 is saying. He put his hope. He made the determination to hope. That's step number one. He made the determination to believe the things of the spiritual and not the natural. And that led to the faith bringing substance to what he had not yet seen. And that's what we see him as we continue on in verse number 14. And I will praise you yet more the more. He is stirring his faith as he's praising the name of Jesus. That's a lot to take in. But think about those things. And if you have time today, I strongly encourage you, read Psalm 71. Read Romans 4, 17 and 18, and then read Hebrews 11, 1, and let the Holy Spirit show you the connection between all of those things, because if you'll do that, you'll get the exact same results that you saw in the psalm writer. You'll have that faith rising, and when you have that faith brings substance to the promises, and it brings the enemy to a place where his defeat, his humiliation, the shame of trying to come against the child of God that you are is enforced in him.